Hey everybody, Wendy Sellers here, the HR lady. I am here today with a very special guest, Drew Donaldson. Am I pronouncing that right?
That's right. All the syllables in the right order.
Awesome. I love easy names. How are you doing today? Where are you?
I am in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So
all right.
Familiar with Hershey Chocolate. We're about 40 minutes east of Hershey Chocolate, about 2 hours outside of Philly. Right in the dairy belt. That's why Milton Hershey decided to build his plant here, was because we have so many cows, and I live in a town where there are more cows than people. So we're a bit out there.
That you're probably fortunate that as the HR lady, I understand that people can drive you crazy. So
cows make good neighbors. They
yeah,
stink
absolutely.
From time to time, but you know, they're pretty good neighbors.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I actually grew up in Pennsylvania, northeastern Pennsylvania, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area. So I'm familiar with the cow land and the mountains and everything. But I am currently in sunny Florida. Well, not sunny right now, but currently living in Florida where that is mostly sunny. So we're going through our winter right now. I know. Nobody throw anything at me.
Well, you're missing out on some great snow we got today. It's 25 here. So, you know, I'm sure that'll make you feel homesick. But yeah, you're from good old NEPA.
Yep.
Northeast PA. Pennsylvania is such a weird state because it's so big. And there's
huge.
So many little subsections of it. Like you got like the Pittsburgh whole Allegheny County out there and then Erie up by New York, and every part of Pennsylvania you go to is like an entirely different country. It's amazing for people who haven't ever been here before.
It really is. I personally have not been to a lot of areas in Pennsylvania because when I left, I was really just starting out my my professional career. And so, which means I was broke, right? So I didn't get to travel a lot, and I'd be interested in hitting some of the other sides of the state. But it takes a long time because there's a lot of mountains. So anyway, welcome to the HR Lady podcast. Tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you got into the coaching business.
Sure. So I'm a marketing strategist. I've been a marketing strategist for getting close to two decades now. I actually kind of came into marketing backwards. I was a film and TV kid in college and came out, started working in the studio system, and quickly learned there was just really no money to be made unless A, you knew somebody, or B, you just happened to be right place, right time, and, you know, got picked up, especially in the New York market. Because New York, even though, you know, a lot of film and television is unionized, and that's where people really get, you know, decent sized paychecks, is when you've been in the union for a while. A lot of the work in New York is non-unionized. So really, you know, the studios I was working at, the senior guys were making about as much as a Costco checkout person. And this is a senior. This is someone that's 10, 15 years into their career. And I just looked at that and I was like, this is not my life. Like, I do not, like, I love film and TV, but I don't love it as much to give up a lot, you know, give up my future prosperity to do it. And so I just so happened to see an opportunity to create my own agents or my own studio at the time. But it failed, and it failed because I had no idea what to do with what I was doing with marketing. I couldn't figure out how to attract clients. And so that's became my obsession, is like, well, how do you make marketing work? How do you draw clients to you? And so from there, I did a stint at St. John's as their head of video production, and then became full-time marketing consultant.
Oh, that's awesome. And tell us a little bit about, you know, what do most people when they're looking for a coach or being sent to a coach, which is sometimes the case, right? You know, how does that process, what does it look like? Hey, how you doing? You're forced to be here today. Let's get started, you know?
I think coaching has a lot of different flavors. It's kind of like, you know, Ben and Jerry's ice cream. There are some that are very plain and don't have a lot of bells and whistles. And then there are others that are very, very intense. And like, they really only speak to a certain type of person. And I never really thought of myself as a coach until the term was really thrusted on me by my own clients. When we first started this business, I bristled at being called a coach. I hated that term. I was just like, I'm not a coach. I'm a consultant. Like, I've worked really hard. I know a lot of stuff. I'm not a coach. I'm a consultant. Like, you hire me, I give you ideas. And then what I realized is I was actually just a coach the whole time, getting caught up in a title battle with myself. Because what I do is I sit down with people and I walk them through the process of growing a business. And that's inherently coaching because I have to be there to pick them up when they fall down and tell them, so why did that fail? Okay, well, let's try it again. Here's what we're going to change. So I think when you're going and becoming a coach, I think a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to take this knowledge that I have and figure out how to activate it for other people. But really what it comes down to is that interaction between you and them. It's not the thing, it's how the interaction takes place that really becomes
Right.
coach. What makes you a coach?
And the folks that are that you're coaching, their sales, marketing.
Well, they're primarily small business owners in the coaching consulting space themselves. We used to really supply all different types of businesses, and we still do to a certain extent at our agency. But the coaching program really is designed for people who are knowledge workers, people who, maybe are ex-corporate HR and trying to start an HR consulting practice. I've had so many people that fall into that bucket alone come through the practice. And so really the coaching program I run is specifically for what I would consider knowledge-based workers.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, and it's I'm an HR consultant. Own my own HR consulting practice, and I dabble in coaching a little bit, but not a heck of a lot. It's not something that I'm passionate about or that I enjoy, but it is funny that you mentioned, oh, maybe somebody's leaving corporate HR to go to HR consulting. It's like, yeah, because we've lost our mind in the real world. Not that it's not the real world as a consultant, but man, HR has been just insane. I would say before the pandemic, but then you throw in the pandemic. Holy moly, there's so many people that said, nope, I'm retiring, I'm done, I'm not dealing with this, or I'm changing careers. So I personally wish, you were around or I found you when I started out, because I just had to go through a lot of the struggles and the problems. And I tell everybody and anybody that calls me and says, hey, I want to be an HR consultant, I'm like, call me first and I'm going to tell you the real stuff that goes on so you can make a choice. It's not all flowers and rainbows and butterflies. It's a lot of pain and a lot of a lot of time lost, learning lessons. So without saying any names, any favorite stories you want to share of how somebody has overcome XYZ to be an amazing business owner, for example, through coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite story is actually from an educational consultant that I started working with 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago, probably now. And when she came to me, she had been a very successful education consultant. She had worked with some really major school systems, but that's a lot of travel. Like when you're an education consultant and you're working for public schools, like you are traveling the country a lot. And she had
Yeah.
young kids, and she was kind of tired of being on the road all the time away from her kids. And so, she had this idea, well, what if I change my model and I start selling courses, the same training I'm doing in the school district, but sell them directly to teachers. And so she started going down this rabbit hole, and I just did an interview with her a while ago for a case study, and she was like, I kind of got to the point where all even my friends and family were looking at it and going like, maybe it's just not going to work. Like, and that's the worst thing in the world for someone trying to go out on their own is having the people that you care about the most come to you and try to have like an intervention. And I know because I've been on that side of an intervention. I've been the person people come to and be like, maybe you should just go get a corporate job. So that pain. Really just made her double down her efforts. She did not shy away from it. She didn't doubt herself. She knew this was going to work, and she just didn't know how it was going to work. And so we linked up, and very immediately I knew I was dealing with someone who knew that she had all the pieces of the puzzle. She just couldn't figure out how to put them together. It was like putting a puzzle together with all the pieces face side down. So we started working together. Within 30 days, we rebuilt her funnel from scratch. We redid her entire her webinar deck from practically from scratch. Like I went through it and I was like, well, this is why you're not converting on this, because this deck is just not designed to sell. You took all these things you learned and you tried to execute them, but you didn't execute them the way they needed to be executed. So we just really rebuilt her whole program from the ground up. She launched and made $10,000 in her first day. This is
Oh
after
my
never,
goodness.
never making more than $200 on a course. So like that's really the power of working with someone who has already walked that path, who already knows this stuff, who does it every single day when you're just starting out. And the challenge with becoming a consultant at all is that there's no book on how to be a consultant. There's only books on how to be a better consultant, because every single book assumes that, well, you're a smart person, you should already know what you're doing, what you're bringing in, what you're offering. The problem is most people don't know that to begin with. They
Right.
don't understand what that true value is. In this case, she knew. She just didn't have the right pieces, but other people just don't know what they have.
Yeah, it really is. It sometimes, well, it often takes somebody else who cares about you to say, "Hey, I need to let you know on this stuff here." Either people, candidates included, think they're a lot about themselves, or they think the opposite, right? And it's like, no, there's a spot for everyone in this world. That's my belief anyways. And they just may need some coaching, some help, some assistance to get where they want to go. Well, that's awesome. I'm so happy for her. No names, but I am so happy for her that you were able to help her and that you're here to help everybody. Now, since the pandemic and most people are not most, but a lot of people in the workforce are remote, has this definitely expanded your client base, or you do most of your coaching remotely as a primary source?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of weird. I have very few clients from Pennsylvania, as big as our state is. And when I originally started, I started it to be a local agency to my community. But it's a very hard world to compete in rural America with an offer like mine at the price
Yeah.
point I charge, because I'm good at what I do. I can't bottom dollar myself and take less money just because I want to work within businesses within 5 or 10 miles of me. So the challenge there became, how do I convince people I can help them? And I think the pandemic was a huge asset in my favor, because it did two things. It gave me an opportunity to talk to a lot of business owners that had their guard down because they'd been beaten up for a year with this thing, and they were more than willing to talk to someone who maybe could drop a nugget of information that would help them get out of this mess. But also, it opened the world to video, this kind of thing, more so than ever before. I mean, I used to go and speak on stages, and like the idea of doing like a virtual conference or even something like this was just like ludicrous. Like that just didn't happen. And yet, as soon as the pandemic happened, we all just adjusted to this new world, and now I could serve people from all across the country. So the pandemic definitely did help make people comfortable with this model, I think more so than they were before, prior to the pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. It's similar situation with me too. And I feel so horrible saying like, oh, the pandemic helped my business. I mean, the first 2 years or the first full year definitely of the pandemic, I myself was drowning just because I was helping all my clients lay off, and then I was like, what am I supposed to do now? If I just laid everybody off, where does that leave me? But it did help me because I wanted to help the world. And now everybody's, accepts remote coaching, remote training, remote consulting. So congratulations to you. If any of our listeners wanted to find out more, where can they check it out and where can they find you?
Sure. So you can find me at growhouse.org. It's you can book a free call with me if you're looking to start your own business or looking to grow your existing business. You can also find me all over social, Grow House on at all the platforms that matter. And if you're interested in hearing, and I will share her name because she doesn't mind, Juliana's full story of how we took her from 200 to 10,000. That is on my LinkedIn. There's a live stream there from believe not this past Thursday, but last Thursday. So I don't know
Oh,
what day that was, like
excellent. Well,
the 13th or something like that. So
okay.
yeah.
Great. Well, I'll go check that out. And for everyone that's listening, it is spelled GROHAUS.org. So different spelling. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it. It could probably be confused with something else that might be growing.
You are not the first person to make that joke. It hurts every time I hear it.
Oh, hey, it's mainstream, so whatever.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, thank you so much for, coming to the podcast. I'm going to go check out her LinkedIn because I'm interested, and I will definitely make sure that, I send people your way because I don't love coaching. I do it when I'm very intimate with my client and I know who they are. But other than that, I'm all about sharing the wealth everywhere and making sure that we're friends everywhere. So thanks for joining us and stay safe, everyone.